Good morning, everyone. I hope you have a wonderful day. To continue where we left off, we're in the first chapter of Baba Metzia, Shnei Mechzin, page 13a. On the top line, we dedicate this class to our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land, especially those on the front line. May all the wounded have a full and speedy recovery. May all the hostages return home safely to their families. So yesterday we learned in the Mishnah, that if someone finds a loan documents, if the documents are written inside the documents, that is, the borrower's property are mortgageable to repay the loan, so if he sells it after the loan, the lender can collect his loan from these properties that were sold, extracted from the buyers, then you cannot return it to the lender. But if it's not written in the document, that's the opinion I've made. If it's not written in the document, it's mortgageable. In other words, he can only collect the loan from free property or from his money, or cash, or movable items. Then you return it to the lender. And the rabbis say, either way, you don't return it to the lender because we're worried maybe it was paid. So you might have tried to understand, according to Meir, why? If the borrower admits that he owes, even if it's written in the document that the borrower's property is mortgageable, if he admits that he owes it, why not give it, return it to the lender? And then legitimately he can collect his loan from these properties that were mortgaged for this loan, to repay this loan, even if it was sold. If he doesn't admit, he denies, he says that these documents fell from me, I already paid it, you return me the document as a receipt, and that's why it was lost. So therefore, even if it's not written in the document that his properties are mortgageable to pay the loan, why should you give the document to the lender? Why should he collect the second time, even if he's just getting cash? Why should he collect the second time? He shouldn't give it to him. The borrower claims that he already paid it. So the Gemara answered, because we're worried that since it fell, therefore, there must have been something wrong with the document. What was wrong with the document? That maybe the document was written in the month of Nisan, but the actual loan didn't take place till 6 months later, month of Tishrei. So if you're going to return the document to the lender, and which states that he can collect it, all the properties of the borrower are mortgaged, so you look at the date of the document, all the properties from this and this date, from Nisan, is mortgaged to pay this loan. So if he sells it after Nisan, but before the actual loan, which happens 6 months later, so you're going to collect, illegally, you're going to collect, the lender will collect his loan from the properties that were sold. So that's why you can't return it. But as we learned the Mishnah that you could write such a document. You can write a document for the borrower even if there's no lender. Let's say he wants to have everything prepared. The borrower wants to have everything prepared. You can go to the lender, lend me money. I have already a document that you lend me money and I owe you money. How could you write it for him? Why don't you worry that maybe he's writing it today, but he's not going to convince the lender to lend him until months later? How could you do that to the buyer? It's written in the document that all the properties are mortgageable. And you're going to follow the date in the document. Any property that was sold after this date, even though in actuality, he sold the properties before the actual loan. So Rabasi says, he's talking about, over there, the Mishnah is talking about, called Shtari Aknor, meaning that he says, whether he lends me or not, I'm giving these properties away to the lender from this and this date. So therefore, it's legitimate. All of his properties are mortgageable for his commitment that he's making to the lender or not lender. So he might ask, Yachi, if that's the case, the top of page 13, Yachi, must listen to the Tanya Shemach HaSchon Liyaz. So our mission says that if it's written in the document that all of the properties of the borrower are mortgageable to pay this loan, then you don't return the document to the lender. And we establish that the mission is talking about Shachayev Moid, when the borrower admits that it's legit, the document is legit, he owes money, he never paid the loan. And because we worry that maybe the document was the reason why we don't return it in that case, if the borrower admits that he owes, because we worry that maybe it was written, the date in the document is the month of Nisan, but the actual loan didn't take place until 6 months later. It wasn't mitul kur lekedin, and then we're going to extract the property from the buyer who purchased it. Purchase it legitimately because he purchased it before Tishrei, before the actual loan. But you're going to follow the document, so you're going to, the lender's going to repay his loan from property. He's going to extract it from the buyer, shleik adin, illegitimately. But the question is, am I liyachzir? Why not? Why shouldn't you return the nechzeh? Let's take a look clearly. If it's a document that says that the borrower says, even if he doesn't borrow, even if he doesn't lend me, I'm giving him my property from this and this date. So then a Shabbat Leinafri, then it's legit. He committed, and he's saying that you're allowed to write such a document even in the get-go initially. So return it to the lender, and he legitimately could collect this commitment from even the mortgageable properties that was sold. But if he never committed, like a Mechash, then you have nothing to worry about. Why? You said that if the only time you can write a document for the borrower is only if there's an actual loan. Unless the only time you can write it for the borrower without a lender, when there's no loan, is only in the case of Akno, where he's committing to give the property either way, whether the guy lends him or not, he's giving his property, he's committing to give his property, to pay the properties and give it to the lender. But if there's a case where there's no Akno, I'm not allowed to write the properties in the first place. I'm not allowed to write such a document. So if I wrote a document with a date there, I can safely assume that this was written legitimately. This document was written legitimately. There was a lender, there was a borrower, there was an exchange of money. The lender handed the money to the borrower, and that's why the witnesses signed, and then there was a kosher document. So the loan happened on that date, so you have nothing to worry. So why don't you give the document to the... To the lender, let him collect these mortgageable properties from the buyer. It's all legit, the data is legit, you have nothing to worry about. So even though we said that you're not allowed to write such a document, unless he's writing a shtar akno that he's committing to give these properties to this person, whether he lends them or not. But otherwise, you're not allowed to write such a document. And here we have a document before us, a document that was found as a loan document. It's not a shtarakna. He never made such a commitment. It's just a loan, and I owe you to pay the loan, and my property's on mortgage to pay the loan. But masnis now mishne, kibin the nafal, because since the fact that it was lost and found, why was it lost? So we say, you know what, maybe because this document was written illegitimately. Yes, initially you shouldn't write such a document. They went ahead and wrote it anyway. They wrote a document for the borrower. And even though there was no loan at the time, it was just preparing him for a loan that he was hoping to get to make it easy and convenient. He can come to the lender, here, I have everything ready, I have the papers drawn, everything, just sign, give me the money and we're good to go. Save him the hassle. So the loan may have taken him months later till he convinced the lender to give it. So you're going to extract the property from the buyer illegitimately because he bought it before the exchange of money, before the loan actually took place. But because you're following the date in the document, which is an incorrect date. Okay, that's how the Gemara explained our mission. Now the Abaye is giving a whole different explanation. Even if it's not a document where he's committing to give these properties to this person, whether he lends them or not. No, it's a document, it's a loan document. I'm only going to pay you if you lend me money. Nevertheless, when the witnesses sign, from that moment, you become committed to pay this, even though there was no exchange of monies. That's what the Mishnah says. You can write a document for the borrower, even if the lender is not there, and even though there's no exchange of money at the time. But when the witnesses sign their name, autograph this contract, this loan document, then the properties become mortgageable from that moment on. So that date is legit. The reason why Abaye says is from the Kashalei, because he finds it very difficult. Our previous explanation, Abaye finds very, very difficult. Give them the lesson about the legacy. If you say that only time that you allow to write a document, a loan document to the borrower, even though the lender is not present and there is no loan exchange of money, is only because in the case of Akna, if he is committing to give it to him, whether he lends them or not, but in a case where he's not committing to give him, not allowed to write such a document. And so he says, he's not worried. Abai says it doesn't make sense to him that we should worry that since it was lost, so it must be that they violated this law and they wrote the document anyway, and therefore the date on the document and the actual loan are two different dates, and therefore I can't give back the document to the lender because maybe he's going to collect from the mortgageable properties from the buyer illegitimately. Abai doesn't accept that explanation. Makes no sense. If you can't write such a document, you can safely assume, even though it was lost, that it was written correctly, and therefore you have nothing to worry about. And you should return the document. So therefore, Abaye says, he learns the Mishnah, you can always write a document for the borrower, even if the lender is not there, because it doesn't matter if the loan is later. You can still collect from the properties that are mortgageable, because from the date that's written in the document. And that's why he explained, and that's why our Mishnah says the person who finds these loan documents should not return it. We don't return it to the lender. Why not? Because we worry that since it was lost, we worry maybe the borrower wrote the document, prepared the document, the loan document, but he never executed it because he never borrowed. He never convinced the lender to lend the money. So it's not fair. Why are you giving the lender the document? Okay, the Gemara will discuss how Abaye will explain the Mishnah. Okay, now the Gemara asks, Alhod, it's not necessary we learn the Mishnah. We're going to learn later on, Matzikit and Nashvash Chiravadim, the person finds bills of divorce. Chiravadim, bills of emancipation for Canaanite non-Jewish slaves with Daitik. Daitik is a will that was written from the last will and testament of a person who's dying, which has the force of law, matana, where he founds a document, a gift document. A healthy person who's giving a gift, a shevrim or receipts that the loans were paid, the bills were paid, and he doesn't know, should he return it, should he not return it? Who should we return it to? You don't return it to anyone. Why? Because we worry. Maybe they wrote it, but nimlechalin, and he changed his mind. It was written, but it was never executed. So it's not legit. It never really happened. He just prepared documents. If he would pay, he would have a document ready. He'd have a bill of divorce ready. It doesn't mean he actually executed any of these documents. So the question is, who cares if he changes his mind? You say, Abaye holds, the moment the witnesses put their name and sign their name, it's already executed. It doesn't matter when the loan happened or not. See, my answer is very simple. When do we say this, that the mortgage begins? From when? From when the witnesses put their name down, if there's actually, at the end of the day, there was a loan here, we actually executed the loan. If he never got any money, never received any money, he wrote a document, it was never executed, it was never done, there was no loan, nothing ever happened. Of course, the document means nothing, it's a piece of paper. If, at the end of the day, he loaned, it was a loan, and was executed, then we say, from the moment the witnesses put their name down, all of his properties, from that date, from that moment, all the properties become mortgageable to pay the loan that happened eventually. Okay, now we get to the Mishnah. How will Abaye explain the Mishnah? Elamas Nisin, our Mishnah. Diktani, it says, Matzah Shtari Choyim Yesh Ben Achrayis Nechotzim Le'Yachzir. If a person finds these loan documents, and in the documents it says that all of the properties of the borrower are mortgaged to pay this loan to the lender, and therefore even if the borrower sells the property, the lender could collect his loan from these properties, then you're not allowed to return it to the lender. We keep, then we explain, we that the Mishnah is talking about Shechayev Maida, that the borrower admits that he owes money. If he doesn't admit that he owes money, then even if there's no, even if his properties are not mortgageable to pay, and he just, the lender can just pay, could just get paid in cash or whatever free property he has, why would I give it to the lender? The borrower is shouting from the rooftop that he doesn't know anything. He already paid, and the lender returned the loan document as a receipt, and it fell out of his pocket. So we're talking about a case where he admits that he owes money. And the reason we don't give it to him, so then if he admits that he owes money, the question was, why don't he give it to the lender? What's the problem? Even if his property is mortgaged to pay the loan. So we explained because maybe the document, the date is Nis, but the actual balloon didn't happen. 6 months later, Tishrei, according to Ravasi, it makes sense. Amr Shtari Haknes, who says that... When could you write such a document, even though there's no loan and there's no lender? How could you write such a document in this, and if the loan didn't happen 6 months later? Only b'shtari aknas, only in the case where he commits to give this person his property, whether there's a loan or not. So he explains our mission is talking about documents which he does not commit. He only commits, it's a loan document. If there's a loan, he'll pay. Like we explained, so therefore I can't return the documents because the loan documents to the lender because he's going to collect illegitimately collect from the date that's stated in the document, which is 6 months earlier than the actual loan. But according to Abaye, says it doesn't matter if the loan was 6 months later. Who cares? From the date that the witnesses signed the document, all of his properties are mortgageable to pay the eventual loan. So what's the problem? If he admits that he owes, and the date is legit, because it doesn't matter if the loan happens 6 months later. All of his properties are mortgageable from the date that the witnesses signed the document. So return it to the lender. Why? How you can explain the mission of Abaye? Abaye will answer you. The reason why you don't return the loan, even if the borrower admits that he owes money, the chayish lepidoyin lekanunya. Because we're worried that maybe there's a conspiracy here. Conspiracy between the borrower and the lender. The borrower already paid the loan to the lender. And it was lost from the borrower's pocket. The lender returned the document to the lender, to the borrower as a receipt, and he lost it. Now there's an opportunity. An opportunity to make money. So the borrower and the lender scheme and plot and conspire. And they say, you know what? Let me claim that I never paid you. So we're going to return the document to the lender. Now the lender will extract the property that was sold, because it's in the document that everything, all my property is mortgageable to pay the loan. I'll say I don't have any money to pay. So they're going to extract the field from the buyer who bought it, who actually bought it legitimately, and they're going to extract it from him. And then we'll split. I don't have any money to pay him. We'll get the property and we'll split it. So there's a conspiracy. There's an opportunity here for shenanigans. So therefore, we can't give the loan document back to the lender, because maybe it's going to be at the expense of the innocent buyer. We have no right to extract this property because the loan was already paid. Just because he says the borrower admits that he owes money, why do I believe him? Even if you're not a conspiracy nut, you have to worry. He says, "How do I know that he's telling the truth? Maybe they made up a conspiracy amongst themselves and a scheme and a plot just to extract property from me for no reason. That's why we can't return it. If there is no property, his properties are not mortgageable to pay the loan, he has to pay with cash. If he admits that he owes money, give him the hate. Why would you admit? He has nothing to gain. You want to pay a second time? Fine. Then you give back the loan document to the lender. But otherwise not. If the property is mortgaged, then you don't. So the Gemara asks, what about Shmuel? According to Shmuel, we're going to learn later on, Shmuel says, we don't take this seriously. You know, we don't worry about this conspiracy. Why? Maybe in general you do worry about conspiracies, but not in this case. Why? Because we say that if the borrower took the loan document back from the hands of the lender, he wouldn't keep it around. He'd immediately burn it, tear it up. Why would he keep around a document that condemns him? That if it's, you know, if he loses it and then it makes its way back to the lender, he's going to collect the second time. You got back the documents, you make sure to rip it up and you paid it, and the lender gives you back the loan document, you immediately rip it up. So the fact that it's still here tells me that it was never paid. And I don't worry that maybe there's a conspiracy, really he already paid. No. The fact that the document is here tells me everything I need to know. This document was never paid. It's a legitimate loan, and therefore you can extract it from the buyer. So what's the problem? Why shouldn't he give it back the loan document to the lender? Michael Menondich, so if you're going to say that Shmuel holds like a Asi, that he holds that only when are you allowed to write such a document? Only in the case of Shtari Akno, the borrower commits to give the property to this person, whether he lends them or not. So he'll explain, like Rabbi Asi, our Mishnah is talking about a case which is not Akno. So we'll worry that maybe the date is not legitimate. Like we said, the fact that it was lost, maybe they wrote the document without permission, even though you were not allowed to write such a document, unless it's a Shtari Akno. And therefore, the fact that it was lost tells us something is wrong, something is suspicious about this document. So therefore, you can't give it back, this loan document, to the lender because he's going to collect based on a wrong date. At least I will come by. But if he holds like a buy, the Amar Eda B'chassum of Zachen Lei, that Eda B'chassum of Zachen Lei, that it doesn't matter. You're allowed to write such a document even if he doesn't commit to give the property to this person. Even if he doesn't lend the money. No, he's only giving him this property if he lends him money. Because the fact that the witnesses put their name down, signed it from that date, all of his properties become mortgaged to the eventual loan. So Michael Maimon, how are you going to explain it? Then why don't you return the document? What's the problem? There's absolutely no problem. Nothing to worry about. The date is fine. And you can legitimately extract the property from the buyer. And the lender could get his loan paid from that property. When does Shmuel say that you always return documents because you don't worry about conspiracy, that you're not worried that maybe the borrower and the lender are in on this and they're trying to steal the property away from the buyer? He says that's only if you know for certain that there was a commitment, that the document, the borrower made a commitment, even if it's not going to be a loan, it's not going to lend them, he's still giving these properties away. So then you're not worried that maybe there was a conspiracy here, maybe he already gave the property, and that's why he had the loan document, and then that's why, and when it was lost, he decided to swindle, they both decided to work together to swindle the buyer. But in a case where there is no document, there was no starakna, he never committed to give these properties to this person unless there's an eventual loan, then we wouldn't return the document. Why would you return the document? Maybe he wrote a loan, but he never executed the loan. If he never executed the loan, then you have no reason to return. In that case, everyone would agree that you don't return a document. Why would I return a document? Not a question of conspiracy. Maybe it was never executed. There was no loan here. There's no reason to give it to the lender. But how would Shmuel explain the Mishnah? But the answer is, if Shmuel holds like a Abaye, Shmuel will explain the Mishnah. That he doesn't admit that he owes. The borrower says he doesn't owe. If the borrower is arguing that he doesn't owe, he already paid, and the loan document fell from his pocket, because the lender returned to him the document as a receipt. So Why does the Mishnah say that if there's no properties, if his properties are not mortgaged to pay the loan, then you do return the document to the lender? Why? He's screaming from the high heaven that he doesn't know anything. Why in the world would you give him the document? So the lender should collect again. Need the government shabdi. Yes, he can't collect. He can't mess up the buyer because he can't collect from mortgageable properties. The charim is going to collect from the free properties and from any cash that he has. If he's screaming that he doesn't know, why should I believe? Why should I give it to the lender? In the charim, mikvah gavis. My answer, Shmuel etameh. Shmuel is consistent with his reasoning. That was Shmuel. I mean, used to say. Because if document was not written properly, proper document should write and state in it clearly that all my properties are mortgageable to pay the loan. And if you omit it, it's not a legitimate document. And therefore, you can't collect anything with it. Not only can't he collect the mortgageable properties, even cash, he can't collect cash, he can't collect even free properties. Because it's not a legitimate document. So therefore, you can return it to him. You're not afraid. If he says he doesn't owe any money, giving back the document to the lender, he won't be able to collect with it anyway because it doesn't have any. It's not written in the document that all the properties are mortgaged. So why are you returning it to him? To do what with it? What's the point of giving it back to the lender if he can't collect with it? You can use it as a cover, to cover the bottle of wine or his canteen. Why are you giving it to the lender? Why are you giving it to the lender? If there's any benefit from this piece of paper, not as a loan document, it can't be collected on, because it's not a legitimate document, but if you're just giving it to him, it has some usage. Why are you giving it to the lender? Why not give it to the borrower? He can use it to cover his canteen or his... jar. The Gemara says, "Loivu." The Gemara answers, "Loivu." The Amar because it's 13b. Loivu. The Amar because the borrower says, "Le'ed v'ad me'elam." He says it never happened. He said the whole document is a forgery. So how can you give him the document when he says that the lender forged the whole document? So therefore, you give it to the lender. Okay, Shmuel argues, if there's a document, he can't say, well, it fell from my pocket. I paid the loan. And the lender returned to me the document as a receipt. And it fell from my pocket. We don't accept that argument according to Shmuel. Because Shmuel says, that's not what you would do. If you collected this document, loan document, as a receipt, you would immediately tear it up. So the fact that the document is here tells me you never paid. So his only argument that he has is to argue that the whole thing is a forgery. It never happened. I never wrote this document. I never signed this document. I never agreed. There's no loan. It never happened. So if he's arguing it never happened, how could you give him the document? So you should benefit from it. It's a piece of paper. Give it back to the lender. So according to Rav Asi and according to Abaye, the Mishnah is talking about where the borrower admits that he owes money. And nevertheless, the Mishnah makes a distinction whether the properties, it's written in the document that the properties of the borrower are mortgageable to pay the loan, then you don't return it to the lender. Because according to Rav Asi, because maybe the date is wrong, according to the Rabbaya, you don't worry the date is wrong, but you worry that maybe there's a conspiracy, there's a plot, a scheme in the borrower and the lender to illegitimately take away the property from the buyer. But if it's not written in the document that the properties are mortgageable, therefore it's not going to affect the buyer, then you do return it. And the rabbis say it doesn't matter because any document, even if it's not written, it automatically all your properties are mortgageable. So therefore, you can never return the document to the lender. And Shmuel, according to Shmuel, the Mishnah is talking about when the borrower, if the borrower admits that he owes money, then you would give back the document. There's nothing to worry about of it. Everything is legit. The fact that there is a document that wasn't ripped up tells me that everything is okay. And by law, legally, the lender could extract the property from the buyer. So, of course, he would return it. But we're talking about, Mishnah is talking about where the borrower denies. What do you mean he denies? According to Shmuel, what do you mean he denies? Not that he argues he already paid. If he already paid, why is their document still in existence? Surely he never paid. But he says it never happened. The whole loan never happened. The whole thing is a forgery at the get-go. So in that case, if there is a mortgageable property, you can't give it to the lender because he's going to use the document to extract the property from the buyer. But if it's not written in the document that the borrower's property is mortgageable to pay the loan, then you give it back to him, even though it's not a legitimate document. You can't do anything with this document, so you're not worried that maybe he's going to go collect with this document from the borrower. But he can use it for as a piece of paper, as a stopper on his wine jug. But the question is, according to Shmuel, Tosfos asked, then why, even if it is written in the document that all the properties of the borrower are mortgageable, why wouldn't he give it back to him? He can use it for a stopper for his wine jug. He can't collect with it anyway because the lender, the borrower says the whole thing is a forgery. So he can't collect it from the buyer. He says it's a forgery. So it's not worth it. It's just a piece of paper. So if you're going to want to say, since someone else is involved, maybe the borrower will die and his children, they won't know any better. So he has a document. He'll come and he'll claim that here, I have a document. You see, the guy owes me money. I have a document. He never paid. And he's going to extract the property from the buyer. Okay, anyway, it's very involved, but let's continue. Zok digmel gemar am rav lazar, lazar says machleik shein chayim moid argument in a man chacham whether a document that doesn't have written in the document that all the properties of the borrower are mortgageable to pay the loan to the lender and he's allowed to collect it from the buyer, collect his debt from the buyer of these properties. He's talking about a case where the borrower denies that he owes. He argues that the whole document is forged. So therefore, in a case where it's not written in the document that the properties are mortgageable to pay the loan, you can give it back to the lender. Why? Why are you giving it to the lender? He's going to collect from the cash. He's going to collect from freed properties. When the guy is screaming from the rooftops, he doesn't know anything. All things are forgery. Because anyway, you can't collect from this document because it's not a legitimate document. Because he holds, like a mayor, that's such a document, you can't collect anything, not even cash. So you just give it to him as a piece of paper to be used as a stopper for his wine jug. But I bought the sabbath in the rabbi's hole. The mikvah gavi that he could collect with his document. And therefore, I can't give it back to him. Because he's going to collect. Rabbis hold that even every document, even if you don't write in it explicitly that all the properties of the borrower are mortgageable to pay the loan, it's self-understood. And the fact that the loan document itself, it's a signed document, tells us that makes automatically all of his properties mortgageable. So therefore, I can't give it back. How can I give it to the lender? He's going to go collect with this document from, you know, not only is he going to collect from the borrower who's yelling that he doesn't owe any money, if he has free property, if he has cash, even if he doesn't have it, then he's going to collect from the buyer. So he can't return the property. But if the borrower admits that he owes money, everyone holds, he gives it back to the lender. So he owes like Shmuel. Now, Belaz holds like Shmuel, you know, worry that maybe there's a conspiracy and there's a scheme and a plot to take the property away from the buyer illegitimately, because even though it was really already paid, so the buyer and the lender are in on this. You don't worry about that, because surely if he would have paid, he would have immediately ripped up the document. So the fact that the document exists, it's still here, tells us all we need to know that this loan was never paid. So if he says that he owes, he admits that he owes, and you give it back to the lender and let him collect with it. Rabbi Yechonah says no. He holds like either Rabasi or Rabaya, that the argument between Rabbi and the rabbis is when the borrower admits that he owes. The mayor holds that a document that's not written in the document, that all the properties of the borrower are mortgaged to pay the loan. So all it means is that you can't collect from, that the properties are not mortgageable. So if the borrower sells his properties, the lender cannot extract these properties from the buyer. But it's a legitimate document, and he can collect this loan from the free property or from any cash that the borrower has. So therefore, since he admits that he owes money, if the property is not mortgageable, has no effect on the buyer. So if you say you owe money, fine, then give the document to the lender. He can collect the loan from the borrower. The rabbis hold, in either case, even if it's not written explicitly in the document, you cannot return and give this document back to the lender. Why? Because they hold that even if it's not written in the document, automatically every document already commits and mortgages all those properties to repay the loan. So if I give back to the lender, it's not fair. I can't do that to the buyer. But if the borrower denies that he owes money, according to everyone, you don't give it back. Maybe as the borrower said, maybe the borrower said that he already paid. Or according to Abaya, that he wrote the document, but it was never given. Or he says, no, it was already paid. You gave it back to me. That's why you gave me back the document. It was a receipt, and I lost it. So it was already paid. So therefore, you can't give it back. According to everyone, you don't give back the document, even if there's no mortgage written in the document. Even Rami would agree. The Gemara says, Tani, Chavas Rabbi Yechonah, the Braisa supports opinion of Rabbi Yechonah. And to Yufta Rabbi Lozer, Bechadot, Yufta Shmuel Betarti. And this Braiser refutes Rabbi Lozer in one aspect, and refutes Shmuel. And there's two questions from this Braiser and Shmuel. What's the Braiser? Malzer Story, Yeshma Chreis Nechaz. Person finds documents, loan documents. And it's written in the document that the borrower committed to, he's mortgaging all of his property for the repayment of the loan to the lender. And even if both agree, the lender and the borrower agree that the document was never paid, the finder cannot return these documents to the lender, not to the lender, not to the borrower, because we were afraid that maybe it was already paid, and the lender returned this document as a receipt to the borrower, and it fell from his pocket, and now it's a conspiracy. They're plotting and conspiring to mess up the buyer, to take the property away from him, even though the loan was already paid, and then they can split it amongst themselves. That's the Braisa, and everyone agrees. And the Braisa continues. What if there's no, it's not explicitly stated in the document that the property is mortgaged to pay the loan? The borrower's property, all of his property is mortgaged to pay the loan. So he makes a distinction. When the borrower admits that he owes the money, he never paid, he asks him, you give it to the lender. If he says he pays, he never paid, then let the lender collect. The only one that's affected here is the borrower, because he can't collect it from anyone else. The property is not mortgaged. So if the borrower sells his property, you're not going to go and you can't collect the loan from the buyer. So it's only affecting the borrowers. If the borrower says he owes money, then fine, let him pay. But if the borrower says he doesn't know, he says, I never borrowed, or I borrowed and I paid, you don't return the document, the finder doesn't return the document, not to the lender, not to the borrower. Why? He used to say, study. She has been my Christ, and given the Chasm Shabbat. Because he says that the documents that are written, commitment, documents documents that's written that his property is mortgageable, fine. Then you can collect from the property. But if it's not written, then it's a legitimate document. We can only collect from the borrower, from his free property, or from cash. The rabbi says, even Chasam Shabbat, it doesn't matter. Either way, you can collect the document itself, even if it's not written explicitly, means that you can collect from mortgageable property. So according to Rabbi Meir, I can return the document if there's no achrayas, if it's not stated explicitly that you can collect from mortgageable property, then return it to the lender. You can give it to the lender. But according to Rabbi, it doesn't matter. Either way, I can't return it to the lender because you're going to mess up the buyer. So what do we see? Tiyufta Rabbi Elazar b'chad. So one question, Rabbi Elazar. Damar, he said, Rabbi Meir, Shtamir, Chayesin, Chayim, Chasim, Shalom, Chasim, Chayim. Because Rabbi Elazar says, according to Rabbi Meir holds that a document that does not written explicitly that all the property of the borrower is mortgaged to pay the loan is not a legitimate document, and I can't use this document for anything, not even to collect from the borrower for his cash or his free property. And the Kamari says, when he says, Bein, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Nechashin, Likanunya, Rabbi Elazar says, according to Rabbi Meir, Rabbanan, you're not worried of conspiracy. Because they would have ripped up the document right away. The fact is, the document means that the loan indeed wasn't paid. But we learned the Braise, Shashim, Bechrais, Mechosim, Meshabdit, Legavi, Nechaydin, Magbegavi. And the Kudubrai, also the Rabbi Elazar said, according to Rabbi Meir, you're not worried of Kanuni. You're not worried of conspiracy. And that's why he says, when the borrower admits, we're not worried that maybe they're conspiring to steal from the buyer, steal the property from the buyer. Because the fact that the document exists, it wasn't ripped up, tells me everything I need to know, that it was never paid. And that's why he says that the Braisa says everyone would agree you give it back to the lender. But the Braisa, because in the Braisa we learn two things. We learn Shtashem Bechais Nechasim Shabda Legavi Vnechayrim Magbegavi. Not like Rabbi Elazar. It says clearly Rabbi Meir holds that it is a legitimate document, even if it's not explicitly spelled out, stated that the loan will be paid and all the properties of the borrower are mortgageable to pay the loan to the lender. So I can collect with it mortgageable property, but I can collect with it free property or cash. And also Diktani says Ben Rabbi Elazar Hashin Liknun, it says clearly in the Braisa that you do worry about conspiracy or plot or they're conspiring. Tani, we learn off Mishuk's name, the Braisa says clearly, even though both the borrower and the lender admit that he owes the loan, we don't give it to either of them because we're worried that maybe the loan was paid and they're conspiring against the buyer. The Gemara says, wait a minute. You said you only have one question, Rabbi Elazar from the Braisa. Here you're posing two questions. Answers on 14a. It's really one. It's one reason. It's really one question. Because it's the same reason. Mishum to come Rabbi Elazar. Because Rabbi Elazar explains our Mishnah. Shemachloik is v'shein chayiv moed. And our Mishnah is talking about the borrower does not admit that he owes money because he argues that the document is a forgery. It never happened. Not that it happened and he already paid. Then how do you explain why is the document still present? You should have ripped it up. But the fact that it never happened, the whole thing is a forgery. So that's why that forces him to taras hachi. So he has to explain then why does the Mishnah say that? And if he crying from the rooftop, screaming from the rooftop, he says, no money, even if it's, why are you giving back this, the document to the lender? Even if there's no mortgageable, even if it doesn't, even if there's no, you're not going to mortgage, his property is not mortgaged to pay, but he still has to pay cash. He's claiming that it never happened. The whole thing is a forgery. Why would you return the document to the lender? So it forces you to say that according to Rav Meir, it's not a legitimate document. The lender can't do anything with this document other than use it as a stopper for his wine jug. So it's really one question. And then he said, we have two to the Shmuel Batarti. There's two questions to Shmuel. The one question is Kabbalazar. The same question we had in Kabbalazar. The Mukimas Nizim, Shein Chayim Maid. Because Shmuel explained the Mishnah is talking about when the borrower does not admit that he owes. He denies that he owes. He says the whole thing is a forgery. And here in the Braise it says clearly the argument and the rabbis is when he admits that he didn't pay the document. Whereas the Braise states clearly the argument is that he admits the document is legit. And he admits that it was never paid. And another question is, if a person finds a document where he committed to pay this person, whether he lends them or not, you give it to the lender, because we're not worried that it was paid, because otherwise it would have been ripped up. So that we can refute that from what it says in this Beraiz. Even if they both admit, says you don't return it to either of them, even though the document is present, that tells me that it was never paid, why wouldn't he give it back? We do worry that maybe it was paid, and he handed back the document as a receipt, and he kept it, and he put it in his pocket, and it fell out. How much more so here? How much more so in our case, where the borrower, according to Shmuel, if they both admit, you would return the document because you're not worried that it was paid. How much more so in a case when the borrower doesn't admit that he pays? You wouldn't return the document to the lender. He says maybe it was paid. If a case where he doesn't admit that he owes, he admits that he owes, you return it to him because you're not worried that maybe it was paid. If the Braise says that we're worried for conspiracy, that they're conspiring, that maybe it was paid and they're just going to collect it legitimately a second time, they're going to take it out legitimately from the buyer, even though the document is still here. So why are you worried? If it's still here, it tells me everything I need to know that was never paid. It would have ripped it up. So the Braise says, no, we don't say that. So how much more so in the case, in Shmuel's case, where a person finds in the street the Shtar HaKna, and he says, you immediately give it to the lender. Even if the borrower is not even present, how could he give it to the lender? Surely I should worry. According to that, you would not give it back because I'm worried. Maybe it was paid. Even if he says it was not paid, we suspect that they're conspiring and really it was paid. How much more so if he's not even here? He's not saying anything. How much more so I should worry maybe it was paid? Why should I give it back to the lender and collect it a second time illegitimately? So we see that Braise doesn't hold like Shmuel. Everyone have a wonderful day.